title for the day will be The Business Proposal That Helped Me Earn $2,000+. The Business Proposal That Helped Me Earn $2,000+. Of course, this is Mr. Cage coming to you directly from the laboratory. Today is August the 31st, 2019. We are transitioning into fall. And I preface that because if I sound nauseated or congested, it's because of the changes in seasons. This right here will be a part one, a part two, and possibly a part three. I know it's going to be at least two parts. The outcome of this discussion is to provide understanding on how the process of receiving funding works if a person has a youth program specifically. Specifically, this is directed towards those who desire to acquire funding in conjunction with youth programming. The other end result is that I'll provide you with the tools to help you get the funding you need, and then we'll talk about me offering you a template. I have at least three pivotal templates that can be used to help you acquire the funding. Two are proposals, and one is the partnership contract in itself. I will offer those to you. However, those won't be free. There'll be a cost attached to those. But the most important part of the process is getting the understanding connected to positioning to acquire the funding. When I look in social media, whether we refer to YouTube or the internet or Facebook, there is a fair amount of false advertising taking place. For example, with this title, The Business Proposal That Helped Me Earn $2,000 or More. People would retitle this, and some people would title it The Business Proposal That Gets You $2,000. The business proposal itself wasn't the sole instrument that helped me earn the $2,000. It was different factors and situations and circumstances that occurred that allowed that opportunity to present itself. The proposal had to be written, and praise God, I have awesome templates that will assist you in acquiring the funding or helping you acquire. But it wasn't the sole instrument itself. Some people are promoting services, products, how-tos that is under the guise and the umbrella of false advertising, which from a relational perspective, the trust is already compromised. We don't want to follow those personalities. You can still grab wisdom and knowledge and understanding on a specific topic from those individuals. However, I wouldn't promote a person get into a business relationship with those people because the compromise is already there from the beginning. With this title, The Business Proposal That Helped Me Earn $2,000, the total amount was $2,350. It was $2,350 over a 3-month span of time. The first payment that I received was $900. The second payment that I received was $700. And the third payment that I received was $900. And the first payment was $950. The second payment was $700. And the third payment was $900 over a span of 3 months. In addition, I have another partnership agreement that the total is much more, and I'll give you the details concerning that story in the next couple of weeks. We'll let the funding come through We'll let the funding come through. And then we'll tell you the story connected to it. We've already received a portion of the funding for this current partnership agreement. However, to be true, to start a solid foundation with my listeners and my future partners, we want to walk in integrity. Therefore, when that opportunity manifests itself, we can give you the complete story. I know we've been seeing me post a lot about productizing. It's a whole campaign that was started in 2015 under the title of Taking Yourself Off the Shelf of a 9-to-5. First and foremost, the 9-to-5 is a mentality. People have been conditioned and socially engineered to provide work in a natural sense itself. God will position us to be of service because it's a ministry of helps to each other to enhance each other's life and experience and help us realize our full potential. I'm giving you the conversation from a perspective of society has put us in a box of providing services only. Ever since we were younger, we've been taught to provide service, which comprises of our time, in exchange for money. I will teach you how to provide the value, which can minimize the time connected to the service that you provide. What I'm not telling you is to stop servicing, because we've been created to serve one another. I'm going to teach you another expression or dimension of the service, which can open up a door for another stream of income for you and for us. Because the lifespan of a person working, and is very much dependent on many factors, health, healthy lifestyle, and the type of work, it is contingent on many factors. However, I have witnessed people get sick and get hurt, and that stream dry up. And what we don't want to see is a person's money stream relying on one expression. Because if we take that physical expression away, most of us will have a hard time because we haven't been taught, or even we haven't been exposed to or haven't listened to other forms of investing and making sure that our money is growing, not just sitting in the bank accumulating interest of a penny, but we're putting our money in vehicles that are assertively or aggressively equating to our money multiplying. The product ties and campaign, that service is going to transform this, your service itself, into a product. Specifically, I want to gear on digital products, because a statement that I will give you in the latter part of this conversation will help you understand why I'm focusing on the digital piece of it all. Because the digital products allow us to free our time for our work and can give us another stream of income. This, what I'm producing right here, is a digital product in terms of audio. The end result will be the business template itself, the business template, the proposal, the two proposals that we have, and the one partnership agreement, and we'll create that and be able to offer it to people to minimize the work that they would put in. And let me give you this thought in connection to productizing, which would allow our services to transform into products, digital, to free our time from our work and give us another stream of income. The key thought that I'm proposing to us is that knowledge in a knowledge-based society is of high value. Hashtag information age. This was a statement that I gathered from Investopedia. I was doing some research on intellectual property, and this thought stood out to me. That knowledge in a knowledge-based society is of high value. Hashtag information age. That's the age that we find ourselves in, is the information age. The other part of this story is that if we're in the information age, then as far as us being parents, as far as us being mentors or teachers or whatever capacity that we find ourselves in, it is of utmost importance and significance that we teach our kids how to package their services. Right now, we get happy, and I celebrate with us all, but we get happy when our kids obtain employment. And employment can be wonderful. It can augment that person's life, but it can put you in a box tremendously, because when we get in the habit of doing something and we see the end result that we desire, the behavior pattern will say that I'm going to continue to do what I've been doing to get this end result because it's benefiting me. It can benefit me short term and it can benefit me long term. That's a cultural norm that says that people have to get a job. That is not truth. It is a true statement, but it's not a statement of truth itself. It's a statement that can be expanded upon. If we taught our kids from younger how to build that lemonade stand, I've seen that in different commercials, and I've seen that as I grew up in my childhood and on TV, then that is a form of entrepreneurship, and that child is providing a service, and that child is providing a service, but it's an end product attached to that service, which is the lemonade. I celebrate and rejoice with every child that I know, teenager, that has acquired a job in the past 2 to 3 to 4 years. But what I'm saying to you and the parents and the adults that's listening is that you cannot put them in a box. You can easily take them from their jobs when they come home and ask them, what service did you provide today? How did you provide that service? Document that service. Package that service. Teach people how to provide the service that you provide. That can transition into a form of a product. It can be a documented process. It can be a how-to guide. It can be an e-learning training course. It can be a whole assortment of different expressions. But we got to be able to transition out of one old paradigm train of thought into a new one, because we are currently in an information age. I'll share these last couple thoughts with you. I was looking at my calendar for September 2019. And what I noticed is that I get paid 6 times in that month. Traditionally, if a person has a job and have one stream of income, they're going to get paid twice. Praise God and honor and glory to my Father that He has positioned me to understand this mentality of streams of income. I get paid 6 times. However, I have bills just like the next person. I have to live somewhere. I have a couple credit cards. I have a couple student loans. We have a cell phone. We have to eat. All of the commodities, or the essentials of living life. But it reminded me of a statement that my money coach, Devontae Moore, shared in her group, was that you have to, it's my paraphrase, you have to earn faster than you spend. If we spend faster than we earn, then we have more month at the end of the money. And that's a general statement. Do you have more month or month at the end of the money? Translation. Do you have money left after you get paid all your bills for the month? If you have more month, then you're in a minus. If you have more money, then you're in a plus. Mm-hmm. simple statement, easy to understand, but the application has to be resident in us. I think I'll shut this part one down. We'll start on part two shortly. I would ask you to take good notes and to consider all the thoughts that's being shared with you, because it's going to position you to be able to gather the understanding of how this process works. And also, it will truly position you in an applicable sense to provide or to have the tools to help you get the funding. But we first have to address the mentality that we have, because it's the mentality that we have that can either allow us to transition into this type of conversation or hold us back. And I don't want you to be held back. I want you to be able to progress into this. This is the end of part one of the business proposal that helped me earn $2,000. We will commence and conversate or converse shortly in part two. Part two of the business proposal that helped me earn $2,000. Of course, as you're listening to the voice you hear, it's myself, Mr. Cage, and I would like to highlight a few key points that will give you and the other listeners an understanding. Once a title was given, most times we associate the title with our desires and our wants. And with this title, the $2,000 piece of it, the total amount was actually $2,350. However, I prefaced in part one that the payment was issued out over a 3-month cycle. And payment number one was $950. Payment number two was $700. And payment number three was $900. There was a service provided first. Then the payment was sent, and it was an invoice and a timesheet that had to be submitted. The funding itself was already approved. The money was there, but it wasn't given to me before the service was provided. Currently, I am in a partnership where the payment has been provided before the service, but it's dependent on the entity, whether the entity is a school or whether the entity is an organization that provides services for foster kids. Those are the two different partnerships that I'm connected to, and it comes down to the type of entity that you function with, depending on if you're going to get the money beforehand or after you provide the service. But I gave all those significance because when we see a title such as this, we have the tendency to fit that title to our own experience of what we want, which sets up a possible false expectation in our mind. M-I-N-D, because I'm nauseated and I'm trying to speak clearly as slowly as possible for comprehension purposes for my listeners. In our thoughts, we have an expectation that once I listen to this, apply these practices in my practice, I'm going to experience the $2,000 or more right then and there. It does not happen that way. Doesn't happen that way. And from my own personal experience, it may be different for you, but I'm giving you a pattern to build from. Your pattern may be different. It may vary in different segments, but I'm giving you something that came from my experience. And I want to break it down to the tiniest of the molecule in order for us to have a realistic expectation and to be able to gather that momentum to build up to that point in order for you to get your funding. I also touched on in part one the payments that I receive on a monthly basis, specifically in the month of September. I receive various incomes from the partnerships that I'm involved with, as far as being a substitute teacher, short-term substitute teacher, long-term substitute teacher. I gather those different streams. But many of those streams, all of those streams that I mentioned, which is six, I receive a couple more streams of income. Maybe we'll discuss that on a later date, but as a prelude, the other couple streams, possibly the two, three that I can think in my mind, because there's more than two, there's probably at least three to four, don't come from me being physically present at the place where the income comes from. And that's another piece that we'll discuss in terms of productizing and investing and your money multiplying. But with this, these six payments that I'll receive in September will come from me providing a service, physically being there. But, this is the but, capital B-U-T, they will equate to products in form of processes, templates, how-tos, programs. My service, it always equates to a product, which the product is a derivative of the service, which can be given or sold to whomever may use it that function in that industry or that service, and they can continue to go and transition from generation to generation to generation. It is very important for us to understand the time that we're in terms of information age, because the information age allows us to download stuff and it can be forever in the hearts and the minds of our kids, and they can take what we did in our times and add to it and transform it and redefine it. They're taking the baton and going and running the next length of the race itself. Those are keys to consider. I want to help you get the funding if you're specifically working with youth, but I wanted to provide you with the details that will keep you encouraged on the journey, because the journey, it's a long one. I've been on this journey for at least 10 to 11 years at the tender age of 29, and now I'm a tender age of 39, and I've made a lot of mistakes. I've learned a lot. I've worked with a lot of people, and it's all because of God's grace and mercy and Him helping me understand who I was and what He called me to do. This type of audio conversation, training, or teaching is not mainstream. It's not mainstream because it's not under the umbrella of being popular, because it's going to be detailed out real. It's going to be objective, not subjective, because the objectivity of it comes from our relationship with God. Therefore, it's not going to be a bias on most of the things that I share. Most of the statements that I share with you is going to be unbiased in Jesus' name. It's going to be very neutral as I'm giving it to you from that place, to the best of my God-given ability. As I preface this piece in terms of productizing, which means to transition or transform your service into a product. Don't think of products only as tangible. They can be intangible. They can be digital. They can be virtual. It can be in the form of a worksheet. It can be in the form of a how-to. It can be in form of a template. It can be in form of several products. But the one key that I would give you as we transition and get ready to complete part two is you have to ask yourself, number one, what is it that I do on a daily basis that's in conjunction with my identity and my passion? Two is, who is the end customer that gathers value from the service? And another key that I want you to understand is that if once I produce this product, you know, for example, I create a lot of curriculum because I teach all the time. I had to ask myself, who is going to value this curriculum? Because if people don't see the value in what we are offering, then they are not going to pay us for it. People pay for what they see value in. Hence the term value system. What is the value system of the people that you've been called to serve? It's important to educate your customers or the people that you've been called to serve, because at times their value systems will be upside down instead of right side up. And because they out upside down, they see through the lens of being upside down, and they don't see clearly, and they're not able to ascertain the long-term value of what you have to offer, because for me, it's not mainstream. Therefore, I have to do a tremendous amount of revelatory education to remove the scales and the veil from the eyes of the people who should see value in what I have to give them, because God gave it to me to give to them. But the paradigm or the thought process or the thinking will hold a person's purpose and destiny hostage, hence not allowing them to see value in the product, and they won't purchase it because there's no value on it. Preface, as I was stating before, don't rely on your job solely for income. When you have a traditional job, your income is being taxed because it's earned income. But the taxable income from a business is decreased by the business expenses. And your business don't have to be big. There's a level of, not level, but there's a depth of responsibility that is associated with having and running a business. But there is not a specific size that your business has to be. It could be in terms of whatever goals that you set for yourself income-based wise. It could be you can have a small niche. You can find yourself specifically focusing on a specific niche, and that niche can be small. It may be small in your eyes, but it may be big in the eyes of God. Don't allow the logic and the reasoning that comes to try to steal, kill, and destroy your God-given talent and ability. Don't allow that to come. Whatever it is that you've been given to do, do it with all of your heart. And you don't compare yourself to what other people are doing, because other people's path may be different than yours. The business doesn't have to be big. The other key thought that I shared that I reiterate from the first part was from Investopedia.com. My paraphrase was, knowledge in a knowledge-based society is of high value, information age. Teens get jobs. We have to teach them how to package their jobs into a service. And also, in addition to that statement, the knowledge in a knowledge-based society is of high value. We have to know how to package our knowledge, because if knowledge is of high value in the information age, it's the information itself that people value, but it's also the package that it comes in. Because if the package, it doesn't come in and it's not alluring or appealing or applicable to that specific customer base, they're not going to purchase it. They're not going to purchase it. The example that I will give you is, the first thought I was thinking was, which some of us can relate to and some of us cannot, the Cosby Show, when Cliff Huxtable's daughter, Vanessa, brought her fiancé in, and that was the first time that the parents ever met the fiancé. Cliff Huxtable brought the fiancé into the kitchen and told him, real talk, we don't like you. And it's not because we don't like you. it's because of how you were brought to us. If I bring you a steak on a garbage lid, are you going to eat it? And his response was, no. In terms of this, how does your product look to people? How is it delivered? If you are a person who's creating the product of short videos, doing how-tos, or some form of entertainment, how does your customer that you serve, do they even frequent YouTube? Do they frequent Facebook or Instagram? And that's what I'm speaking of when I'm talking about the delivery of it. Who is your customer, and where do you find them most at? And that's the vehicle that you use to get to them. Again, the business proposal that helped me earn $2,000 total was $2,350. The quick story, and I'll summarize this in 3 minutes, that when I was working for Joliet Job Corps, my heart was to give back to my community. And when I say community, I mean specifically in terms of Joliet, Illinois. I took a trip to my old workplace, which I was an independent contractor for Coldwell Banker Honig Bell for about 5 years, and I ran into one of my managers, Miss Melissa, and we talked and we caught up on the latest events of each other's lives, and she shared with me that her son was substitute teaching at Joliet West, and it intrigued me. And I asked her a question. I thought that you had to have a master's degree to sub. Her response was, no, Marcus. All you need is a bachelor's degree. If it's something that you're interested in, you need to look into it. And I was interested in it because I saw that as a doorway to allow me access into the public school system. Put the exit plan in place, pay whatever fees I needed to pay per the state, and did my fingerprints. All of a sudden, the transition began to take place. I began to walk in that transition, and I found myself in the school as a sub for Joliet Township. Within 2 years, the opportunity opened up for me to do what I had on the inside of me through our emphasis on relationships with my customer. My first customer is normally teens or students. Another relationship that could result as a byproduct of that relationship is the relationship with the educators, the teachers, the academy coordinators, the administrative assistants, all those people, even the directors, administration at the district. But the relationship that was produced from those relationships with the professional staff, the adults, was the relationship with the young people. I place a strong emphasis on building healthy relationships with young people because that's what I've been taught in my church and in my relationship with God. With that relationship, understanding the dynamic of young people, working with young people for so long, and it's not the tenure or the length of how you work, it's what you learn throughout the work. And what adjustments have you made as a person? I discovered that my specialty was in behavior. I understood behavior very well from being taught by my apostle. In prelude to him, and honor to him and his wife, Apostle Stephen Moffitt and Prophet LaQuinta Moffitt in Joliet, Illinois, Rehoboth International Ministries. That tutelage and that training and that hands-on mentorship helped me understand myself and how other people function. And God equipped me to be able to bring that into the secular arena in the marketplace and help me identify roots and behavior patterns, surface behavior patterns, and root behaviors, which gave me a different insight on why people function the way they function. And once I understood the why, it allowed me to self-manage myself in the moment and not personalize this functional behavior and keep their relationship healthy with those individuals. In a relationship, there's always going to be conflict. oftentimes we don't go to the next phase in life because that conflict, we personalized it, and now we don't want to deal with those people any longer in a negative sense, and we need people to help you advance in your career. You need people to help you earn the $2,000, because without the people, the business proposal means nothing. Last part of the story that I will share with you is that because of the relationship that was cultivated with the students and with the staff, a director of special services approached me. I was going to the district to get my paycheck one Friday morning, and she said to me, "Marcus, I may have an opportunity for you. Keep your fingers crossed. If everything goes well, I'm going to be to see you." And that day came. She made me aware of the opportunity, and with about 2 to 3 months span, she approached me with the opportunity because I was long-term teaching for a teacher, and we had a sit day, which is entitled School Improvement, and she addressed me, and, "I need your number. We need to talk." The funding had came through, from my understanding, and we met, and we put some things in place, and that's the end of the story itself. I'll give you more of the details in terms of the conversation that I remember in order for you to take your notes. But if I want to summarize this whole encounter, I want to highlight that it's very important to understand who you are, specifically for me, in Christ. Your function comes from your identity. Once you understand your identity and your function, you will be able to identify what you specialize in. And once you understand what you specialize, keynote, I never said expert, because I don't see myself as an expert. I see myself as a person who specializes in a specific area of discipline. I see myself as a person who specializes in a discipline, which is behavior. You are able to identify your specialty, and you cultivate the relationships that you find yourself in the most. I had to ask myself, who is my primary customer? Where are these people at? Primary is teens. They in school. They spend a lot of time in school. I need to go to the schools. And then from that, the other relationships evolve based on those 3 or 4 key factors. This is all the whole story that will build us up to you possibly positioning yourself to get the funding that you need for that youth program that you want to execute and facilitate in your community. But I needed to give you the whole rundown because there are many hidden principles in the story, and I pray that God highlights those principles to you and you jot those down and you tailor it to your experience. But there will be a part 3 coming to you shortly. The business proposal that helped me earn $2,000 or more, which was $2,350. In the next episode, I'll give you the conversation that her and I had and how you have to manage your time when you're working with directors of organizations in terms of education. And I'll show you the way and illustrate the conversation, the time frame, what the proposal looked like, some of the items in the proposal, and you should be set and ready to acquire the funding that you need to facilitate your youth program. This is Mr. Cage. Have an awesome day. Connect with you soon.